In this episode of Ours to Protect, you meet microflower farmer Anna Brown, who runs Big Sky Flowers. Now, what is microflower farming? Well, she lives in a housing estate in Mullingar and uses her garden to grow flowers that she then sells. And she teaches workshops on sustainability. And 11-year-old Isabel from County Offaly had lots of questions for her.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Midlands 103, the IBI, and funded by Commission Na Mban with the television licence fee.
I've been growing flowers since I was a kid. I used to read seed catalogues for fun because we'd no television, but I decided to try and offer locally grown flowers to people probably around 2018, 2019 as a side hustle. And then I got laid off right before COVID and I decided that was it. I was done with work in the tech industry and I was going to try and grow flowers full time.
What exactly is a microflower farm?
A microflower farm is one that's very small. So I grow flowers in my suburban garden in Mullingar. I live in a housing estate, so I don't have a huge amount of space to grow, but I actually have enough space to grow quite a lot of flowers. I have no lawn, and I use the space in between the footpath and the road. So there's flowers everywhere in my garden, and there's a polytunnel, and there's hens, and there's fruit bushes. So basically, I'm using every inch of available space. So that's what makes it micro.
What types of flowers do you grow?
So depending on the season, I grow different flowers. I'm not just growing one kind of flower because I want to be able to make a bouquet or make many bouquets with the flowers I have. So I've got a pretty wide variety. At the moment, what's in season would be feverfew, there's some mallow, there's some eupatorium cannabium, there's a kind of a thistle, there's clary sage. So I would grow lots of herbs, like not necessarily culinary herbs, but medicinal herbs that also make beautiful flowers. So I'm just looking at right now, there's one called Helenium, and it's sort of like a sunflower, but a little bit smaller, so easier to put in a bouquet. And I would put that into my bouquets. It's a lovely, happy yellow one. I'd also grow Calendula, which another happy orange yellow flower. But basically, whatever grows well, doesn't need too much care and grows in lots of quantities for the particular time of year. So sweet peas would have been in my tunnel. They've kind of gone over at this point, but I would have a lot of them kind of in the spring, or probably the late spring and to the summer. And things that are scented, things that are, you know, unusual, things that are maybe hard to get in a florist, things that, you know, really would appeal to people. And also old-fashioned flowers, things that people would remember their granny growing. So that kind of has an emotional resonance for people. Depending on the flower, like if you're going to grow peonies, you probably would have a couple of years in advance because it's a few years before they will produce something that you can cut. But right now for me, I'm actually planting seeds. You normally think you're planting seeds kind of in the spring for a summer and autumn flower, and that's correct. But for the biennials, you need to plant the seeds now so they can put down a good root. And that means that they'll be very healthy next spring. So things like Sweet William, Sweet Rocket, Honesty, Foxgloves are all things that need to be planted now in the late summer, early autumn, in order to be beautiful blooms in early summer next year.
Do you grow flowers all year round or just in certain seasons?
So the Irish climate doesn't really lend itself to winter flowers. So I'll probably have good flowers up until maybe the middle of October. And then, you know, I'll just have maybe a few for myself. Then kind of come the spring, you're kind of looking at maybe late March, early April, when the ranunculus will start in the tunnel. So I do have protected environment, which helps me grow some things early. But most things are growing outside and I'm not using any heat or light to bring things on. So there's probably a good 5 months where I don't have flowers, but I have foliage then. So, you know, I still bring in something of nature to my house and, you know, people can do the same thing at home. You don't need to be going out buying flowers. There's plenty of beautiful bare branches and things that are evergreen to have in the winter.
Why don't you use chemicals like pesticides or fertilizers?
My garden is not just for me. It's for all the creatures that I share the space with. So there's plenty of creatures that are, you know, flying in to visit. There's creatures that are, you know, things like hedgehogs are coming in to visit and plenty of creatures under the soil. So if I stay away from the nasties, then they're safe. They can come, they can enjoy the flowers and the bird and the any berries I might have and the leaves and the insects with me. If I was to poison the soil, which is what using those kind of nasties does, I'm poisoning the creatures that live and the creatures that visit. So I really don't want to do that.
How do you keep bugs away from your flowers without using sprays?
I don't. I share. My feeling is that, you know, if I get a big green fly infestation at the start of the season, which happens sometimes when the growth is very flush, I'm looking at that as feeding for the ladybird. So if I leave those green fly on the plant and then I can't pick it, that's fine. Then the ladybirds will come and they will eat lots and they'll have lots of babies. So later on in the season, when the green fly might come again, I'll have lots of ladybird friends who will help eat the green flies and keep them from hurting my harvest.
How many hours a day do you spend looking after your flowers?
It depends on the days. Some days maybe the whole day, and maybe sometimes I'm doing admin work, sitting at a desk. Probably half the week is spent doing something to do with flowers, be it running workshops or be it been out there, my hands and knees weeding or picking or delivering bouquets to people.
How should people get rid of their flowers after they've died? Can they go in the compost?
If the flowers were grown by yourself or the flowers came from a sustainable flower farmer, then yes. But the ones that are coming from a florist or the supermarket, you don't know what's in them. There's no regulations in terms of what people are allowed to use. And if they've come from a long way away, which you can't tell because there's no labelling on it, they probably have the lots of chemicals to preserve them. So I personally wouldn't add them to my compost bin. I mean, the town brown bin probably would work okay because they're going to be dealt with at high temperatures. That's probably the next best thing. You don't want to put them in a plastic bag and they end up in landfill because that creates methane.
What kinds of things do people learn in your sustainability workshops?
They learn a wide variety of skills. At the moment, seed saving is very popular. I also teach lots of things to do with food. So I'm doing a sourdough bread workshop coming up soon. I teach people how to make kombucha. I teach people how to grow fruit, how to grow veg, how to grow plants, how to propagate plants, and how to use edible flowers and herbs. And I suppose really anything to do with nature, anything that's to do with the traditional skills that maybe our grandparents would have used would probably pop up in some of my workshops. The future as we see it from a sustainable point of view can be a bit hair-shirty. You know, you've been told don't be eating, you know, meat, don't only eat vegan food and don't fly anywhere. I prefer to think of a very beautiful, fragrant, tactile, tasty place with the sound of bees in the background. And that's kind of the vision I bring to all my workshops, helping people live with that vision in mind. So people get to taste. I love when people get to taste something. So my edible flowers and herbs one, people get to taste, they get to decorate, they get to make beautiful things. And they really enjoy doing that. There's no one rule of thumb that I can give you. And it's funny because you think something like a sweet pea belonging to the pea family would be perfectly safe to eat, but it's not. It's poisonous. So really, you want to proceed carefully there. If there's a herb, like something like mint or rosemary that you're growing in your garden that has flowers, they're going to be safe because you're going to eat the rest of the plant as well. Something like pansies, which are quite common. Dandelions are edible. All the parts of them are edible. So really, that one's kind of a difficult one. There's no one answer. Your best to do a bit of research or talk to somebody who knows what they're doing.
I'm 11. What can I do to protect the environment?
Well, I suppose the first thing is if you're eating a lunch, eat all of it or make sure that whatever you don't eat goes into a compost bin. Encourage your parents to recycle and recycle yourself. You know, just be careful what bin you're putting things into. Hopefully the people that you live with have a regular bin, a compost bin and a recycling bin, and know that, you know, you need to wash the things going into the recycling bin. The glass goes into a different bin for glass recycling. So just, you know, work along with your parents and help them with that. And if they don't do it, maybe encourage them to do so. Walk to school or cycle to school rather than looking for a lift. And I suppose just get out into nature and really enjoy looking at it. If we love nature, we're less likely to hurt it. So if you can foster in yourself and in your friends a love of nature rather than spending time inside on your devices, that's a really good thing to do.
Would you encourage other people to be a microflower farmer?
I would, and I do. I'm very involved with the Flower Farmers of Ireland, and I've encouraged a number of people to join and to, you know, expand their love of flowers into actually growing more and selling them to people. People will pay a lot more for flowers than they will for vegetables. So if you're someone who loves horticulture, flowers are a good, really good way to go. And the more people that offer flowers for sale, the more likely we are for people to buy the flowers. So, you know, the more of us that do it, the better in terms of educating the public about locally grown flowers and how their low carbon footprint and their biodiversity helping, the better. For me, I would just recommend like a no-dig method. So throw down some cardboard on your bit of lawn and put some compost on top and plant into it. And, you know, just stand back and wait for the flowers to grow, really. And then, I mean, the harder part is probably to find customers. But if you love flowers, it's very hard not to spend time convincing people of how beautiful they are and how gorgeous they smell. And you might give away a few bouquets initially for free, but you get people hooked and there you go. So I sell mostly through the refill mill in Mullingar or online. I don't go to markets at the moment. And quite a lot of times I will use my flowers in my workshops. So that's kind of a come to a workshop and you might end up going home with a couple of jars of flowers for to brighten your home.
Is there an organisation for microflower farmers?
There's an organisation for all flower farmers, micro and macro and in between. It's called the Flower Farmers of Ireland. And we have a website, which is flowerfarmersofireland.ie. We have an Instagram page, which is Flower Farmers of Ireland, and you can go there and connect with us, find out more about how to join and get lots of information about growing. Oh, just do it. You can do it while you keep your existing job, or you can quit and go big, but it's definitely a need we have. I mean, we definitely need to offer more locally grown flowers, and florists, I think, would like to buy more if they had access to people. So if you've got a big piece of land, do it and, you know, find florists near you who might like to buy your wares.
How can people find out more about what you do?
So I'm Big Sky Flowers and bigskyflowers.ie is my website. There's a big subscribe button on there. So if you subscribe with your email address, you'll get a newsletter once a month that has lots of information about what I do and where I'm doing it. And, you know, nice photographs and plenty of tips about growing. There's Instagram, Big Sky Flowers. There's Facebook, Big Sky Flowers. If you just put in Big Sky Flowers, you'll find me.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Midlands 103, the IBI, and funded by Commission Na Mban with the television licence fee.
And for more information on climate change, you can hear Ours to Protect on Midlands 103. The next episode, Thursday, the 14th of August at 20 past 11. And check out midlands103.com. Ours to Protect is brought to you by Midlands 103, the independent broadcasters of Ireland, and it's funded by Commission Na Mban with the television license fee. That's it from me for today. David Hollywood brings you the Friday panel.